Hello?
Yep.
Hey there.
How's it going?
Yeah, it's going real well.
Where are you at? You in Prague still, or where are you at?
I was in Prague. It'd be 5 a.m. Now I made it home on Saturday, just in time for the football game. Unfortunately, couldn't make it down though, so watched it on TV.
Well, let's do this. Let's start with how you and I know each other, right? We gotta figure that out. So, we've known each other since what, 94?
Probably, yeah, 94.
When did you? Let's see, 94. I live with Sham. And you, where did you live with him in 95, right?
Yeah. So I was in the transfer student in the dorms. My friends knew friends that or had a brother that knew Sham.
That's right.
And I remember going over to your apartment for the first time because Sham was going over there, and that's when I met you for the first time, I believe.
That's right. And we started talking only football. And,
of course.
And then, let's see. Then there was when was that trip to Dallas? When I stole your Illinois football shirt.
Well,
that was like 96,
right.
97.
So that was, yeah, that was, I believe, Cowboys-Rams preseason.
That's right. So it was like 96, no, 97 probably, 97.
Yeah, it was my, I flew down, and then we drove down. From St. Louis all the way down to Dallas.
Right, and we stopped at interstate off-ramp so you and Sham could have a push-up contest.
Push-ups, exactly.
Who could do more push-ups on an interstate off-ramp. And then we went to Dallas, so you're on a football shirt. Okay, and then we went to the Micron PC Bowl together, right?
We did that, yes.
So that was
99, 2000.
Yeah. Mhm, mhm. And then you came down for the summer golf tournament a couple times, right? So that was like 2002 or so, something like that.
I believe two times, and I was on the plaque both times as a winner, and haven't been invited back. But I won't hold that.
That's right. That's right. That's right. You were on the plaque twice.
Champions dinner. Where's my champions dinner?
That's right. That's right. Okay. So then, but then we should talk about. So you have this traveling job, and you have season tickets, and so for years, you were basically my ticket. Oh, no, no, no. We also have to
we're going to go back that far. Oh, no, we're not.
Louisville, 90, yeah. The Terrence Small tackle game. 98, Louisville?
90
yeah, 99, we went to Louisville, right?
I think that was an end around. We scored a touchdown in that game.
That's right. So it was 98. We went 98. We played Louisville at home. You were in Canada. Where were you?
Almost, dude. Upper.
Upper Peninsula. Okay. And so we agreed to meet at the south entrance to the stadium at 10:30 a.m. for that Louisville 11 o'clock game. And I get there and I stand.
Hold on.
At 10:30.
No, you got to slow down. No cell phone. Okay, no cell
yes,
phone.
Yes, correct. Yes, I got a cell phone in like November of 98. So this is just before my first ever cell phone. So we agree to meet there. I get there 10:30, 10:45, 11. No Carmen. I guess I didn't even know why you bailed until I think you sent me an email, and once I got to the computer, I saw the email that you missed your flight or whatever.
Yeah, something happened with a flight out of Berriga, Michigan, and there was no other flights, and I had to then drive to, was it Green Bay? I don't know. It was all screwed up, and I had no way to get a hold of you. There's, you know,
that's
no
right.
Cell phone.
Right.
So yeah.
I stood out there until about 10 minutes after kickoff, and then I realized you're not coming. So luckily, I had a friend with, like, his girlfriend at the time or something, just walking into the game late. And they're like, hey, what are you doing here? I'm like, I'm waiting for a buddy. It's been 45 minutes. I don't think he's coming. And so I just walked in with them and sat in the east balcony and watched the game. So, Okay, so now we've covered how we know each other. But we've sat together for how many? Like, your seat's over there under the overhang in the East Main. You had those for a long time.
Yeah, so I've been...
And we sat there, I don't know, 10 times together maybe?
Yeah, at least. And then basketball season tickets for... Since I graduated, so
So we went. We were at the. We were at the. I was in your seats. Were you there for 0-2 Ohio State Gockman field goal to send it to overtime?
No, I was not.
So I had your tickets, and you weren't there.
Yes.
Right, but we did go to 0-4 Wake Forest together.
You don't even have to ask that question. Of course.
0-4 Wake Forest, number one against number four, which was easily the best game ever in the history of Assembly Hall, State Farm Center. I think we went to, gosh, I remember sitting at a game in your seats. When was it? It was like Seton Hall? Well, didn't we go to that Seton Hall comeback game in like 2000, December?
Overtime.
2000?
Yeah, we were there early December, overtime game.
That's right. I remember that because the guy next to us is like listening to like a radio for the Supreme Court decision on Gore versus Bush to see who was going to be president. And he's like at this pivotal part of the game, and he leans over, he's like, oh, the Supreme Court's going to rule, Bush's going to be president. And we're both like, don't care, down 2, 3 minutes left. Like, we got to get this, we got to send this to overtime, everything else. Anyway, okay, so that's the recap of how you and I know each other and how long we've been talking Illinois football. So 94, Carmen, was 23 years ago?
Yeah,
long time. 23 years? Did you
23
not,
years.
Were you not, because did you go to Liberty Bowl?
I did not go to Liberty Bowl.
Okay, okay. I was going to say, why didn't I see you at Liberty Bowl? Because we knew each other by then, but...
Yeah.
Look, I'm looking at my Liberty Bowl hat right now. I got it hanging on the wall in the office. You know, you want to know all that I got hanging on the wall in the office?
What else?
I have my Wisdom and Yegbele jersey.
Uh-huh.
I have a Ben Mathis game-worn jersey that he signed for me. I've got an Alex Hill jersey that he gave me after his senior season.
Well, you know, he didn't block anyone, so there's no sweat on that one.
I've got hats from every bowl game, and I've got the Illinois pennant that hung in my room when I was a little kid. I don't have to sit here and describe these things, but I'm in my little Illinois cave right now. Okay, let's get to
Let me see if hold on. I got to top you on that one. So in my office, I have game-worn D. Brown jersey, North Carolina, after the Final Four year. We won that game at North Carolina.
The blue. 06 game, or the late 05 game, the December 05 game.
December 05.
Yes, okay.
Also have game from that game as well, game-worn James Augustine jersey. So those are both framed.
Nice.
I have a football... From at Michigan, what year was that? Because Kittner threw an interception, and the Michigan guy intercepted it. And so one of my friends, his brother was a ball boy for Michigan, and, you know, the opposing players catch the ball and just take it back to their sideline, and they'll give it back to the ball boy. So he was able to get that for me. So I have, and it's got the Illinois logo on it, so I have that. And I have the 04
interception ball.
Kittner interception ball. But I also actually had a game at the Big House. So I was at the Big House for the Rocky Harvey game. I love going to away games, by the way. Better than home games.
Yes, yes.
I have, I have the 04-05 fully autographed Final Four basketball and some helmets and some stuff, so.
You taught me. I've got a bunch of press passes hanging here and a bunch of footballs that say Illinois. But I've never been – I like game-worn jerseys I like, but I've never been one for, like, autographed stuff. I don't know why. Maybe as I get older I'll do that.
No, these are very small, so autographed. It's, trust me, it's, I mean, these Steve Brown was wearing a size 52 jersey, same as Augustine, just tucked in. These jerseys are huge. So
that's crazy. All right, let's get to football.
Yep, football, and this is, yes.
Yes, so you have to understand, Carmen and I have been talking about football for 23 years. The entire trip down to Dallas, when not doing push-ups on off-ramp, we talk Illinois football. There are many opinions to be shared, so we're going to talk this last game. So let's start there.
Right.
Bobby Rountree, Isaiah Gay, Bennett Williams, Owen Carney, what's happening?
If you want to see the future of Illinois football, you watch that second quarter and watch those defensive ends do what they do. And it is speed rush, and it is beating tackles one-on-one. I don't know how Bobby Rountree didn't get a quarterback hurry in the end zone. But, Gay makes that tackle, puts him in a passing down, Rountree inside rush, and, basically forces the interception.
Right.
And then,
he made him shift left, and it was actually – I watched this today again because I've watched it like three times now. It was Delshon Phillips who I think there was a fullback in to block him, and he was on a blitz, and he just drove the full – so Rountree came around and forced him, back to the side a little bit, and then Phillips is shoving this guy toward him, so he just, lets it fly, ball game. Go ahead, continue.
And then, so Western Kentucky gets the ball back and drives, is what, at the 10-yard line, 13-yard line?
Yeah, 13, something like that, yeah.
And who makes a play? Not a senior.
Robert Rountree.
Yes. How many stars?
So going back to – I went up to the signing day thing, and all Mike Ferrer could talk about was Bobby Rountree. Owen Carney, Larry Oladipo, tell me about these guys. And he's like, Bobby Rountree is the greatest thing ever. Bobby Rountree. But, they couldn't – they were like – he is the exact defensive end we need for this thing, and he's been exactly that. I mean, he's ninth in the country in sacks. He leads the Big Ten in sacks as a true freshman after two games.
So are we allowed to get our head of ourselves here?
Here's the thing. How many times have you and I talked Illinois football where we're like, oh, Doug Pilcher is only a sophomore and, it's always been this – okay, here's the future, and then it just kind of, we have the Sugar Bowl year, we have the Rose Bowl year, but it never really gets there. But, seeing all these freshmen on Saturday, it's like, wait, if they're this good now, they have to be good in a couple years, right? I mean, they have to be.
They're getting better.
Yeah.
So, Rountree had just as good game, if not better, than Ball State. So, same with Gay. I mean, they're getting better week over week.
Yes.
So, that's what I like about the staff is they're teaching these guys how to play football. I mean, Illinois football has always been regressing. E.B. Halsey, great freshman year, nothing. You see all these guys regressing, and I want to see us growing now. So, excited.
Yeah, I try to – I've had a couple of people reach out to me and say, hey, don't get too giddy. We don't know if Western Illinois is all that good. And it's true. Or Western Kentucky. They could be a 4-8 team. Totally. We could have just we think we're beating somebody who's supposed to beat us by 8 or whatever, but they might not be that good. This might not be that great of a win or whatever. But I'm not really my giddiness has so very little to do with 2017. It's kind of fun to dream. It's like, okay, Rutgers is probably bad. Indiana, I don't know if they can't run the ball. Their offensive line isn't that great. Maybe we match up pretty good with them. They're more of a Western Kentucky. If they can't run on us, can they pass on us to win? You start thinking of all these possible wins and could we climb to 4, 5, 6 wins or whatever. But, my excitement is totally toward the future. It's probably a unique thing to Illinois football fans that you're watching the current season and you're just thinking about what the program looks like when it gets there. But that's totally where I've been since Saturday night is is like, okay, great. You know, anything over three wins this year is gravy. And this is probably ahead of where I thought it would be. And, gosh, maybe even next year is really good. You know, like, I've really started to, you know, like, accelerate the build in my head.
Did you enjoy counting turnovers or freshmen playing more now?
I'm not going to get over the freshman playing thing. Like, you know, I tweeted that on Saturday night. I looked up all, I've kept all the numbers since I wrote the preview. You know, having that double digit true freshman playing, you know, as far back as I could research, and, you know, now we have 17. And, I mean, seriously, at some point I think DeGroote is going to play. There's 18. I think at some point you're probably going to see Oladipo. He missed like 3 weeks of camp with an injury. You know, they may need him for some depth. That would be 19. I mean, there's other, you know, Carmoni Green has to play at some point, right? Now, like, he was heavily in the rotation at camp. You know, right now maybe Jarnard Davis is in front of him, but he's probably going to play, I would think. So there's 20 true freshmen play. I mean, it's good also for the future, but it's good for recruiting to say you want a coach who puts his money where his mouth is. When he says we're going to play you as a true freshman, he's going to play you as a true freshman. I mean, you know, this is far-reaching stuff. So, yeah, I'm probably a little too excited.
Well, not only are they playing, they're playmakers.
Yeah.
They don't even look like freshmen. So, you know, when you look at the offensive line, so we're starting two true freshmen on the offensive line, okay?
Yeah.
We're starting both of them on the same side. That's unheard of, okay?
There's not even laugh. Great.
Yeah, there's not even a tight end there, okay,
yeah.
You know, to help out on the blocking. I mean, watching those guys is they're not even our worst linemen, the true freshmen, that have a total going into that game one start. So our defensive ends, so going into season, we had, what, Crawford, who hasn't played a snap, and, what, Adesanya, is that how you pronounce his name? And he started, did nothing against Ball State, maybe got, what, a half a dozen snaps Saturday?
Yeah, I think he probably got more than that. He probably got 12 to 15. But, yeah, they were running, They ran Kearney out a bunch, and I guess Kearney took minutes from Christian Abercrombie, and they moved Roundtree to left end to start Gay at right. I watched that highlight again today, the third down pressure that Jamal Milan made, where he just kind of shocked the guy, the guard. And forced an early throw. It was an incompletion, threw it short because Milan was right on top. I mean, you're getting pushed from your defensive tackles as well. You know, so I think the thing that sticks out, like the image in my mind when I think of this game, is all the pressure. Like some of the plays where, like they've got both safeties forward, and they're crowding the line of scrimmage. You don't know who's dropping off. You know, every linebacker's in a gap. And they're, you know, trying to disguise looks. I mean, it was such aggressiveness from the defense that
aggressiveness. We're starting how many true freshman corners, and we're playing man coverage. This isn't Tampa 2 here. This is man coverage with one safety in the middle against a team that throws what they averaged last year in the air, 400 yards.
375, something like that,
375. Bump and run,
returning,
man coverage.
You have a returning conference player of the year quarterback. The offense is different than everything else, but what, they have like 4.1 yards per play or something like that, you know, for this high-powered offense, won 9 games in a row. And it's just, it's crazy. I have to think, gosh, as we're recording this, I mean, we might even have a South Florida game at this. You know, who knows if they're going to, you know, keep this on the schedule or whatever. But you have to think that, like, at some point these freshmen wake up Because we'll probably, I'm guessing what, we'll start, because Bennett Williams didn't start. They started Stanley Green on Saturday.
Right.
So they started seven freshmen, but Williams played most of the game. And if he starts South Florida, that would be, what, eight true freshmen that are starting? Paucho and Boyd, Epstein, Dorsey. I mean, you know, Dorsey will start, but if they go to three wide and don't have a tight end,
Smalling
will be out there. So there's going to be four freshmen starting on offense, true freshmen. And then on defense, I think you're going to see that the rest of the season. At least Gay, Roundtree, Williams, and Hobbs. And then they had Adams at nickel, but I don't know what his injury was. I haven't heard anything since then. Was it ankle?
Yeah.
So if he's moving into, because I don't know if they're putting him at nickel so that Watkins can start at the other corner until Dunlap's back, or if they just like, if they want to get both Adams and Hobbs on the field at the same time, so you make one the you know, that outside corner, and you make them, one of them the nickel corner. But, yeah, if they come out in the nickel for the first series, you could see five true freshmen starting on defense and four on offense. Nine of the 22 starters. I mean, what is that?
Five true freshmen starting defense, and the one thing that stood out on that tape was open field tackling.
Yep. Yeah. And I can only think of one truly blown tackle so far, and it was Hobbs against Ball State on the sideline. And the guy danced down the east sideline and got like 23 yards or whatever. Honestly, in two games, that's really the only – yeah, I can't think of another blown tackle.
So the stat sheet for this game was real interesting. Leading tacklers are your corners. So that shows you you're playing man. And you're making open field tackles. So it's not Deshaun Phillips isn't having 16 tackles or Watson. It's your corners, and then it's your safeties. And, man, I like Nelson how he tackles.
I know, right? I knew what you were going to say. Like, I mean, I feel like you can just count on Pat Nelson for the next 3 years to be that dude. Like, you know, completely reliable safety guy. Yeah. Look at that. I'm sitting here like all giddy. I got to calm myself down because freshman mistakes are coming. Offense is going to struggle. We're probably, you know, win this game. We're probably going to go 4-8, whatever, you know. I have to calm myself down and realize that when we play Wisconsin, it's going to be like 34-6 in the second quarter, and we'll be saying, oh, yeah, right, this is a rebuild. I forgot. Because right now, you know, you just think of Pat Nelson, you can completely count on. Trey Watson, you can completely count on. Jamal Milan, you can completely count on. You know it's a known quantity on the defense. So, yeah, it's hard not to get excited.
Yeah, and you know, the team's missing its – arguably its best defensive player with Dunlap out, and they're still playing man. And I always think Dunlap should have been playing man from day one, and they misused his talents. You know, freshmen, even last year, I think we played way too much zone. He was always 10 yards. You're seeing an aggressive defense that understands what they're supposed to do. These freshmen ends setting the edge, forcing plays inside. The tackles, gap control, so allowing Phillips and Watson to run free and make tackles. And now I'm just shocked to see this press coverage from these guys, these freshman corners. Even Eugene Wilson we had still wasn't playing press coverage when he was out there. It was always, you know, the soft cushion. So I like the aggressive defense, and it's not the Tampa 2. This is built for college, which I like. So.
Yes. Okay, let's talk offense, because that's where this season's going to rest. What's that?
Hell boy, talk offense. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we got to start the line, right?
Yeah, it was better. like, the line after Ball State had me so frightened, just so, so thinking we were going to get 182 yards a game from the offense because the line just, you know, you just don't know who you have. I felt so much better, which is so weird because it's two true freshmen on the same side. But Megan's better at guard. Allegretti, we have to fix the snaps, but while Kramer's out, he's got to play center. You know, I think it was better to pair Meganson with DeLauro. I think if Eckerd's out for a while or even out for the season, that's a big blow. He's a big part of that blocking assignment. You're going to rely on Henry McGrew to do it. But yeah, like, you know, that it you have the skill at wide receiver, and Epstein looks good. You'll get Corbin back. You have Foster. Bonner looked pretty good. You know, like, you have the receivers you need. It's can the line do it, and can Crouch bring along the passing game?
I think you can win without Crouch in the passing game to get you your 4 wins, 5 wins, which would be a success. Because I loved last year when he was there. It was 3rd and 8, and we still ran the ball. Because you know what? You got a better chance of getting that first down than him taking these, I don't know, you heard my text. You read my text. McGee's passing plays, these long, slow play actions, throwing it out potentially in the flat. You know, that's not Chase Crouch.
Yeah.
So, but I think he can win with him. I like his competitiveness. I just think you need to put Crouch in a position to succeed, like what we're doing with the defense. You know, drag routes and comebacks and screens and, you know, all, you know, 15 yards and in is where we need to be playing.
Yeah. I think maybe the most, I mean, okay, the first drive of the third quarter was, you know, that's the offense he wants to run, you know, hit Dudek on those curls on third down and, you know, move the ball and be real methodical. And it looked like, you know, it looked a little bit like 2010 LeSure kind of offense, you know, a nice, long, methodical drive like we beat Northwestern at Wrigley with, you know, like, well, because that was a lot of big plays. But anyway, like, I was maybe more impressed by the drive that resulted in no points but pulled 7 minutes off the clock in the fourth quarter. You know, Western Kentucky scores kind of 13 with 12 minutes to go. We're all thinking the same thing. And then we do a long drive that doesn't score, but the clock goes down to 5 minutes before we pooch punt. So, you know, that was maybe the most impressive. It was Crouch running. It was some Epstein, some Bonner. Throw it when you have to, but, you know, just methodically get your yards and keep turning out first down. So, you know, I think that's probably the offense. It's not going to be this high-playing, high-octane, big-scoring kind of thing, but, you know, I think you can move the ball with it. You know, you can be efficient.
We should talk more about that series, though, because they score a touchdown. They had a good drive beforehand, I believe. Then they come down, score the touchdown. Defense is gassed. I think that was, what, like a 10-play drive, 10 or 11 for 50-something yards, but it bought us time.
Yeah.
So that was – because you go 3 and out there and you give them some field position.
Yep.
You know how it is? Illinois is great at taking a close game and just, you know, all of a sudden it's a 7-point game, and before, you know, we're down 7, then all of a sudden we're down 24, like 7 minutes later.
Right, exactly.
So I thought that was a very impressive drive, much better play calling. So I did.
Yeah, and my Twitter was lighting up with people, like, run the ball, you know. Like, why, you know, that interception drove people insane. You know, people wanted us to be doing that 7-minute drive, the drive before when we're throwing it and this and that. But, yeah, I mean, how often do we play the time of possession wear down the defense game, right? You know, we're the defense getting worn down. We're the defense once you cross 30 minutes and they're dog tired, and in the fourth quarter, you know, time of possession is, you know, 32 minutes to 18 minutes or whatever, and your defense has nothing left, and the offense is just getting 6 yards, 7 yards, 6 yards, 8 yards. So, you know, it was so nice to flip that script and just, you know, wear down Western Kentucky to the point where they don't have a deep enough defensive rotation to handle that. And in the fourth quarter, they're going to be tired and you can run off. So it was so nice to be the other team for once. You still there? I'm going to keep recording because, okay, Carmen's sending me a text.